very easy for me to explain to you, you know, growing up in Vintry and Ard na Bóir in the 60s, what it meant. I suppose you'd have to say here in the Cross as you see it now, you know, you have, well, obviously the pub wasn't there then. It was just a green field with two characters there, Pat Sheen Kevan and Pat Kane, living in the field there across the road where we have the pub now. And then across the road, you have the grocery shop. And then across the road again in the other corner, what was known then as Paddy Fitz's, one of the two houses. But that's where I was brought up. And I suppose in this side of the parish at that time, this was the focal point, really. And it was a place which would be very dear to me for a few reasons. It was the meeting place at that time for the characters of this side of the parish. You know, we have a few parishes and little villages close to here in Ard na Bóir, where we have the village of Kealaroe, we have the village of Cahar of Trant and Raheens, and then we have Cahar Bullig and Ballinclay, and then further back we have, on the way to Slayhead, we have Kilvickadownig and Fawn. But you know, on Mondays especially after the weekend, local characters would gather, and just mentioning but a few, you'd have Peter Garvey, you would have Morris Hoare, you would have Joe Shea, and simple things that time amused them. And I was very, very young at the time, what would I be, in 5 or 6, 7, but you know, I would have a photographic memories of those evenings where they would congregate there, as they called it, at Paddy Fitz's gable.
If you'd manage to break a window, right, the gable of the Winter Jesus, I'll never forget it. I got into fierce trouble with my mother for a long, long while over it. In West Kerry, you know, there were no other side shows, there was no basketball, there was no soccer, there was no rugby, it was football. And I must say that from a very, very early age, I took a fierce grow to it altogether. Football was very, very good to me.
You know, I didn't have any other pastime. You know, lots of the lads now, in my colleagues have played football with me, play a lot of golf, and they have pastimes. And at that particular time, you know, I was very keen in getting it, because apart from anything else, I had a very keen interest in staying involved with Kerry football, and thankfully things worked out.
Yes, indeed, a very distinctive, unforgotten voice of the late, great Paddy O'Shea. And tonight, Terrace Talk for 2 hours will be paying tribute to that great man, a great friend of all of us, indeed, a man who will be greatly mourned, I'd say, for a long, long time. But let us say at the very start, to his wife and family and extended family, we extend our deepest sympathy. You heard Paddy there talking to John Green, and a beautiful program that he did with Paddy some time ago, Where the Road Takes Me. And John Green, of course, was working with Radio Kerry at the time, and he put some lovely programs together, and he travelled down to meet Paddy there. You'll hear more of that as we go along. 2 hour tribute to the late Paddy O'Shea. No man deserves it more, as he says. And we'd like to hear from you, the listener, your memories of Paddy O'Shea, anything you want to say about him, 066 712 3666. You can text us on 083 300 3300. And just on the night that it is, I have a beautiful book here, the Kerry GAA Yearbook 1986. And in the front of it, in coloured, beautiful coloured photograph of a smiling, laughing Paddy O'Shea lifting the Sam Maguire Cup over his head. A record of GAA activities in Kerry, articles, interviews and stories. Kerry GAA Yearbook, a collector's item now, 1986, and we'll give that out to one of our callers this evening as we go along, as the night goes along. 066 712 3666. We'd certainly love to hear from you. Paddy O'Shea, in his school's career, won 4 O'Sullivan Cups, Kerry Colleges in 1971, 72, 73 and 74, 2 Munster Colleges in 72 and 73, and 1 Munster College B in 1974. And just in his underage titles, 4 Munster under 21 football championships in 73, 74, 75, 76, and 3 All Ireland under 21 football championships 1973, 75, and 1976. Well, I'm joined in studio tonight, delighted to be joined by my great friend Gabriel Fitzmaurice, as we'll have a lot of people to speak to, and we have a beautiful song coming up later in the programme that was recorded specially about Paddy O'Shea. Gabriel, you're very welcome, and thanks for joining me.
Which is a pleasure and an honour to be here on this occasion.
Yeah, because you were great friends with Paddy O'Shea. You often travelled back to him, and you'd be in the port and in the author and all. You'd appreciate what all of this is about, Gabriel.
Yes, Paddy and myself are very good friends. We met often enough, not very often, but often enough. I remember going back 74, 75, way back to West Kerry. I began, of course, my career in West Kerry as what they call a law bra, a fellow going back to Latin Irish. And then I graduated to be in a Montour grade, get back there. And course of Ossie in Murrayoch. And of course, we didn't stay around Murrayoch that much. We went dancing in Murrayoch, all right. But for hijinks and that, we'd go back to Paddy O'Shea's bar, which wasn't in Ard Mhór at the time. It was Cruisers in Dunqueen. And fellas from this store, like Tomás Flahaven, his brother Tyke Flahaven, a dancer. Tomás was a box player. I'd be playing there. Various other fellas like John Donnell and those from Ventry would be playing there as well. And I'd play a lot of music in parties, both in Cruisers and in Ard Mhór, in Paddy O'Shea's own pub in Ventry. And actually, we used to be called back for special occasions. When I say we, I used to play an awful lot of music back in the 70s with a group of fellas from North Kerry and Miss Limerick. And one of Con's great heroes was the great old-time folk singer, Con Graney from Roosky in Athain, County Limerick. Probably the best traditional singer I've ever heard. And Paddy appreciated him as well. And whenever there was something very special on, Paddy would ring me up and say, can you bring Con back? Yeah. And of course we used to bring Con back. And Donny Sullivan used to go back with us on the flute, and Tony Dalton on the banjo, Gerard Buckley, John Buckley on the accordion, and Boron as well. But I remember once we were sent for to play for Pat Rabbit.
And when Paddy send you wins.
Oh, you came. Oh, that's for sure. We were sent for to play for Pat Rabbit, who was at the time, I think, with Democratic Left, not with Labour. And Robbie Kelleher, they were both there. Pat had a house there. I think Robbie had a house back there as well. I know Pat had a house back there. And we played till late, and everything was grand, you see. And we sat down then in conclave afterward for the final drink, you see. And Paddy said, of course, he was a pure devil, and he said to Pat Rabbit, Pat, you say, you're long enough playing at a card with that old party, but to go out the field and play with a decent party. But I have a little piece here. Yeah. I brought out a book for the GA centenary, or the whatever it was, in praise of football. And I have quotes and poems. The poems are my own, but the quotes are from various people. And this is Paddy O'Shea, a lovely quote from Paddy. The white heat of Croke Park has started to cool in the memory along with the evenings. Time to take stock, recharge, ask the annual question, is it worth it, the journey? I've never known life without football, from childhood to the SEM, minors, under-21s, 1975, four in a row, captaincy, West Kerry, newspaper, sniping, bidding for the manager's job, getting the manager's job, under-21s, training, meetings, interviews, seniors, selections, rows, All-Irelands, celebrations, no stops, endless grief.
Isn't that lovely? He wrote that for you?
Wrote that, yeah.
You know, talk about writing. He was a great man for writing letters. On numerous occasions, he wrote me letters. He's one of the few people that would sit down after an event or something, write you a letter and thank you for what you've done. One of the very few people.
One of the very few, indeed. It's an art not practiced very much anymore. People have forgotten how to say thank you.
Yeah, they have, yeah. But Paddy knew how to do that.
Well, Paddy did.
Before we go to our first interviews that I did at his funeral, Gabriel, it's over 2 months before Christmas now since he died. I still find it hard to get my head around the fact that big, huge, this big, huge, large figure, larger than life, who dominated and who was there in front of us for decades.
Oh, yeah.
And was on the television and was in front of us and spoke to us and we listened to him and he was a bigger than life figure. I still can't get my head around it that he's under the clay.
It's very hard. You know, you seem to, when you grow up with these people,
yeah,
you think they're immortal. We all think we're immortal, but especially the great heroes, the from the Mick O'Connells down to the Paddy O'Shea's, now down to the Gooch Coopers. These people, in a very certain sense, are immortal. They will live forever. And it's very hard to think that somebody whose soul is immortal, and I'm not talking in the Christian sense, the soul, I'm talking in the Gaelic football sense, the soul of the people, the soul of the place, that is now in the clay. Like, if I said that Paddy was like Mount Eagle, I'm not telling the truth. He was more like Mount Brandon. Like, he was the rock and the soil of the clay back there. He spoke the language, he knew the people, he played the ball. He ran the pub. He wrote in the newspapers, he broadcast. He was Anam Kotkagrina. He was the soul of West Kerry.
He was always there.
He was always there.
He was there and he was in front of us. And
he was.
As I say, do you find it difficult to believe that Paddy O'Shea's dead?
Well, when I heard it, you know, they say everybody knows where they were when John F. Kennedy was shot. I know where I was when Paddy O'Shea died. I was in the kitchen watching the wire. And I'll never forget it. You know, it came out on Radio Kerry. And I couldn't believe it. I had to listen to when they go back over it again, you know, at the end of the news, the headlines. I couldn't believe it, Paddy. It must be some other Paddy O'Shea. It can't be Paddy, the captain of the Kerry team. It can't be the great Paddy O'Shea, the immortal Paddy O'Shea.
Yeah. Yeah, it was difficult. Anyway, I was at his funeral and I met up with a number of people and the president of the GAA, Liam O'Neill, was there.
Oh, lovely.
And I met up with Liam O'Neill.
Well, Liam, what did Paddy O'Shea mean to the association?
Paddy O'Shea was an iconic figure, a type of person comes along once in a generation. He was known far and wide. He wore his pride in his native place on his sleeve at all times. He was very proud of Ungaeltacht, very proud of Kerry, very proud of the Kerry jersey. And he valued that jersey more than most other intercounty players that we have seen. He was an iconic figure who's known in every single parish in Ireland, not just by GAA people, but by the wider Irish community as well. And he was a character. The Irish people love a character. He was larger than life, and he'll be sorely missed.
Liam, would it be fair to say, with all the talk today about rules changes and about diving and about all of this, he epitomised everything that was great in the game. When he played his 10 All-Irelands, 1-8, conceded only 1 point, he epitomised all that you and the association would be looking for in the game.
Well, you see, you'd never have to regulate a person who cared as much about Kerry football as Paddy did. He wanted to play the game for all the right reasons. Kerry was... in his heart, he played the games. He hadn't time for fouling. He wouldn't have time for cynicism. He wouldn't have time for lying down. All he wanted was on Mo Dearc. Once he got the ball, everyone knew where he was going. He was going forward. There'd never be a cagey back pass or the things that slow up the game now. He would want to get that ball up, and if someone else didn't score it, he'd want to do it.
The sending off of a great GAA hero, Liam. And here we're here today now, back in Vintry, and crowds coming from north, south, east, and west. It's a great association when you look at it from this perspective, on a sad occasion, but death brings the GAA together, doesn't it?
It does. It's one of the things, unfortunately, that does bring us together. But we like to show solidarity. People are here today because they might have met him at some stage. He might have stopped to talk to him where other bigger figures mightn't do that. Paddy reached out to a huge number of people. We respect the player and we respect the club and the county. That's what we were built on. Paddy epitomised everything that's best in the club player, the county player, and he was a true all-star in every single sense of the word. And of course we're saddened, and we're coming here, I suppose, to affirm the friendship and the unity that's in the GAA at all levels, and that's what's visibly to be seen here today, that people are coming together. They're coming, it's a source of great sadness to that a warrior is gone, but we're here to affirm that, to his existence, and I suppose to show our appreciation for the fact that he gave us so much in his short life.
And of course, his wife and family, of course, are the biggest losses to them, Liam.
Absolutely. We'll all go home, unfortunately, and they will be left mourning this man's loss. He is a huge family man. It must have been wonderful to have such a husband and a father. And our hearts go out to them. And at the end of the day, we're here to support the O'Shea family. First, Paddy's gone now, and they have to live without him. And I think we all feel hugely for them.
Thanks for talking to me, Liam.
Well, thank you.
Yes, indeed, Liam O'Neill, the president of the Gaelic Athletic Association there at Paddy's funeral. And I mentioned there, Gabriel, before we go for a break, I mentioned there about how the family of the GAA gather close together in the 32 counties when one of their heroes die.
Oh, it's huge. The GAA is huge in every parish in the country. And we do support each other. And from the very youngest, under 8, under 6 player, under 8 player, up to the great heroes of yesterday who died at an old age there. I mean, by returning the compliment, didn't the O'Shea's go up when Cormac Neck and Allen died? Didn't they send Kerry up there, the three O'Shea brothers? Just one thing that Liam was saying there, the way they're talking about now in particularly other sports, but it's maybe creeping a bit into Kerry, into GAA as well. The cynical playing of diving and playing for frees and that. Paddy was never part of that. Never. And I remember his teams. Paddy was a hard man. They only got 1 point off him ever in 10 All-Irelands. But he was a defender of the grace and the beauty of Kerry football on the field and off the field and as a manager. And his teams played beautiful football. That's why they were beaten by what Pat Spillane called puke football. Because, Paddy played the game beautifully. and gracefully and stylishly, and this phalanx of, I don't want to mention a county now, but of this philosophy of football, that you could kill the game and win, that had no place in Paddy O'Shea's philosophy.
Yeah.
And long, unfortunately, it's creeping into football at all levels now. And I wish we'd go back to Paddy's simple truth and beauty of football. Football is a beautiful and a truthful game.
Lovely, well said. 066-712-3666, 083-300-3300. What are your memories of Paddy O'Shea?
Terrace Talk with Wishy Fogarty on Radio Kerry.
I was extremely nervous before matches, but I think it's very good. I think the day that you're going to go out onto a field and that you're not uptight, you will not play well.
The All-Ireland that I got most enjoyment out of was my first All-Ireland, Wishy, but I suppose the All-Ireland of 75 was the most cherished one for me, really. 76 then, and 77. I think 76, there's no doubt about it, but we went in to that All-Ireland, I think, in the wrong spirit. We were overconfident. We were young at that time, and I felt that maybe had we gone out again maybe 2 weeks later, played Dublin again, we'd have probably beaten them. 77 was an All-Ireland that could have gone either way. And 78 was an All-Ireland I felt, you know, that was going away from us. Dublin made a very, very great start. Only the little rub of the relic. You'd be surprised what a small bit of luck can do when it can change a game completely. 79 was a foregone conclusion. We got through that one. 1980, you'd have to say that possibly Roscommon kicked the All-Ireland away. The worst defeat I had, I think, was the All-Ireland semi-final against Mayo. That really upset me.
Yes, indeed. The day that Paddy O'Shea came in 1998 into studio and spoke to me here. And indeed, I want to thank Mara Moynihan from the Foss School here in Radio Kerry, who did so much work in putting this programme together with Andrew Morrissey. Sinead is on sound tonight, and Eileen is taking your call at 066-712-3666. And of course, Paddy O'Shea won 8 All-Ireland senior football medals in 75, 78, 79, 80, 81, 84, 85 and 86. I also spoke to Micheál Amara Hartig at the day of Paddy's funeral.
Well, Micheál, a very sad occasion as we stand here at the church in Vintry.
It is indeed, and it's still a shock to people, even though now this is Monday, happened on Saturday. They're still talking about it all over the country. And not too long ago, inside in Paddy's home there, I met the northern people. Ross Carr and DJ Kane came from down. The Tyrone guys left at 3 o'clock this morning. Eugene McKenna, Damien O'Hagan, John Lynch and Podge Quinn. Podge Quinn, who's on Paddy in that famous 86 final. They left at 3 o'clock and they journeyed all the way down. And each of them had a different story about Paddy. But it wasn't Paddy the footballer they were talking about, but Paddy the personality that had a welcome for everyone. And in many ways, he was everyone's friend.
While all the great Kerry footballers are well appreciated and everything, Micheál, was he the most loved Kerry footballer outside of Kerry?
He was. And Paddy Byrne Brosnan had that reputation as well. Yeah. During his time and after it, I often heard people saying, of all the people that have come out of this place, Paddy Byrne was the best. He was good friends of Paddy O'Shea, and if you like, Paddy O'Shea took up that mantle then.
Why was that, Micheál?
Well, he was different. The way he came out on the field, on his toes, fists clenched, a stern face on him, ready for battle, never injured. He wasn't a huge man, but he was a sort of a rock of a man. There was no end to him. And I often, listening to commentaries on rugby games, and they talk a lot about a losing point, a bonus point for the loser. Paddy'd have no time for points for losers. If you lose the match you've lost, you don't deserve any point.
I heard you telling a lovely story yesterday about a lady or ladies coming to Croke Park with flowers. That was amazing. I never heard of that for a GMN before.
Yeah, I heard Liam O'Neill, the president, say that on the radio yesterday, on Radio na Gaeltachta. And one man came and he wanted to speak to somebody. If you like, it was like the Ancient Mariner. He wanted somebody to stop and listen to his tale. This man came with flowers, but he wanted to talk to somebody to tell that somebody what Paddy O'Shea meant to him and to his friends. And he wouldn't be a Kerry man. I take it he'd be a Dublin fellow.
Yeah. You'd have broadcast all his big games, Michal, down through the years. Is there one or two special memories that you remember that he performed in the field that will remain etched with you?
Well, did he ever play a bad game? Never played a bad game. I thought that he was a great rallying force all the time, urging his men on, doing it by example, you know. So there would be no particular game because he was the same every day. I saw him win a National League. He was still only 18 years of age against Roscommon in the month of May of 74 as a forward. He felt that time that he was going to be a big name, a big footballer, that he'd win all Ireland's with Kerry, and he really, that came true, and it came true very quickly for him.
Very tough time ahead for his family, Michal?
Yes, indeed. They're gathered inside now. They're having the rosary now before the removal across the road, and they're here from everywhere.
What will his legacy be now? What has he left for Kerry, and how will Kerry react to the death of Paddy O'Shea in the years to come, in particular next year?
The legacy he'll leave is never give in. It's not over till the final whistle. It can yet be won. And even when he lost, the next one was in focus right away. That's the legacy, you know. Full energy, heart and soul into every game. That brings results. It brought results to him. That will bring results in the future as well.
Michal, I've spoken a good many times to you. You're very upset over it. He was a great friend of yours. This is it,
well, he was everyone's friend. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I think Michal O'Shea, he rang me. He told me just a few simple words in Irish. Ta ori ime. Our king is gone. Our king, everyone's king, yeah.
Michal, lovely talking to you. Thank you.
Carcalor. Yeah,
yeah, Michal. What a man he is, of course, Gabe.
Oh, what a man.
What a man. I mean, national treasure, isn't he, really?
And the voice of Ireland.
The voice of Ireland.
Like Michal O'Hare before him. But he's talking there about Paddy in defeat. Paddy wrote this little bit for the book again that I'm talking about, that I did there, the name of the game, or just so long since I wrote it, In Praise of Football, it's called. This is what Paddy said about defeat. Defeat. You've got to toughen, especially when it's a bad one. All you can do is let it go for a while, unwind. Bit like victory, really. I mean, it's the same as it ever was. Treat the two imposters the same. Plough on. Take the hit. Stand over everything.
Says Paddy O'Shea.
Says Paddy O'Shea.
Before we go for a break, you have a lovely piece to read out there. Tell us what you're going to read out to us there.
Oh, this piece?
Yeah, yeah.
This just came into the studio now. It's the invitation to Comórtas Pella Paddy O'Shea 2013, which is on the 22nd, 23rd and 24th of February. And the byline is Marek Shane Arguina, he'll live in our memories. And this is a piece by Brian McMahon.
This is out of the invitation that I got.
This is on the invitation.
To the lunch.
It's the front cover of the invitation with a lovely photograph, a studious photograph of Paddy O'Shea. One by one they leave us. Those who it almost seems that if God, after he had made them and smiled on seeing they were unique, had then decided to break the mould that gave them shape. Perhaps it is that although he was unlike anybody, he was like everybody. And that there was so much of us in him, and so much of him in us, that we were unable to treat him objectively. He was all that was vital in our beings being reduced to a healthy essence. He was one with our river flowing, our painted shops and our horse racing. He was the philomath, lingering after the age of philomaths had gone. He was the partisan par excellence, the footballer fielding at the natural equal of any emergency. He was the play, the mime, the recitation, the song, the contradiction that called up echoes from chasms deep in us. He was the delight of words placed in their adorable order, and while he was the unfettered, and he was the unfettered and unfetterable heart. In the time of adjustment to loss, we grieve that in the greyness of twilight, never again will the walls of our town re-echo to his laughter that called us out of doors as surely as a peal of bells. Those who knew him required no touchstone to recall him. Those who did not can never have him explained to them.
God, that's fabulous, Gabriel.
That's fabulous.
Who wrote that?
Brian McMahon wrote that. I've read all Brian's work. I think that might be from Brian's last book called Hero Town, which is a fabulous book published by Brandon Books in West Kerry by Steve McDonough.
It was nearly written specially for Paddy.
Oh, it couldn't be written specially for Paddy, yeah. Yeah.
Lovely stuff. What's your memories of Paddy Shea? 0667123666 or 083-300-3300. When we come back, we'll be talking to a great friend of Paddy's who's on the road somewhere, but we'll catch up with him. And don't forget that the Comoltus Pella Paddy O'Shea is being launched by an Taoiseach in the Kinney in the Burlington Hotel in Dublin on Tuesday the 5th of February at 7 o'clock. And the family were so anxious to have Paddy's Comoltus Pella go ahead. And I can tell you, it is going to be bigger success than ever. So stay with us. We'll be back shortly.
Terrace Talk with Whitty Fogarty on Radio Kerry.
There were players who played for Kerry from the parish before. I mean, my first cousin Tom Long, and as I already mentioned, Mick Murphy, and then from the immediate village, you had Bat Garvey, the late Bat Garvey, from just up the road. Bat was a great footballer and a player that was supposed to have invented the solo run, or possibly, if he didn't invent it, he certainly brought it to a very high art. And of course, then maybe he was a little bit older than me, John Long, from Fawn, a great colleges player.
You'd have Seamus McAdult and you'd have Michal Shea, you'd have Liam Higgins. There were three players that were playing with Kerry at the time, and they were the players, I suppose, that in West Kerry that I would look up to. My real heroes growing up would have been Mick O'Connell, especially Mick O'Connell now, and of course Mick Dwyer on the Munster final in Killarney, and I got in immediately after the game. And you know, of course Mick O was my idol and my god, and I managed to get over close to him. And you know, and he looked, he was talking off, and he looked over to me and he said, would I go out and bring in a tub of ice cream. So I went out anyhow to one of the stalls that brought in, I think, a half a dozen tubs to him. So he kind of reared up me after coming. He said, "Oh, you told him to bring me in one," he said. The main reason that he was my idol was that he made football look very simple. And he did very few interviews at the time, but I used to watch him and take stock of everything that he said. I remember at a very early age, he put a big emphasis on the amount of training that a player can do on his own without having it to be collective training. And I think that still stands up to the present day.
Yes, indeed, Paddy O'Shea talking to John Green there, Where the Road Takes Me. Paddy won 11 Munster Senior Football Championship medals, 75, 76, 77, 78, 79, 80, 1981, 82, 84, 85 and 86. I'm joined in the line now with a great friend of his, Derry Murphy. Derry, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much indeed, Wishy.
Derry, have you even attempted to come to grips with his debt back there?
Well, we're about reaching that stage now. Paddy was a great and loyal friend. He was an outstanding man. He was a man of great humanity, a man of great humility also. He was an outstanding fellow, and you know, we certainly enjoyed a great friendship, and certainly I miss it dearly now.
Yeah, he was a great friend of yours, and away from the maddening crowds and away from Croke Park and away from everything else, you'd have known him personally. In particular, organising his football weekend, which is going to be launched on Tuesday the 5th of February by the Taoiseach in the Kinney. He had a huge passion for this weekend, hadn't he, Derry?
He had a huge passion. Of course, he was a great man. He had a great affinity for his own locality. He had a great pride in the Gaeltacht, in the Irish language, and in West Kerry. He was a great, fair West Kerry man, and a great pride in the language. And then he set up this, you know, it's an idea we just gathered up, this, the thought of this Comoltus Pella Paddy here at the time. It started off with actually Barry Coffey's father, Dennis Coffey. He was the head man of CHR at the time, which was known as John A. Woods. He was the first man who came on board. Actually, it was through Joe Long, who was an assistant commissioner in the Gardaí, and he was the first cousin of Paddy's. So he was the man who initially made the contact with us with Dennis Coffey. And then we got it organised down in Cork in a small way. And then the following year, the facility grew. I think Bank of Ireland became involved then, and they were involved for. So it grew from there, and it became a huge fixture in the calendar of the GAA. And of course, the launch, as you were well aware yourself, in Dublin was a huge occasion. He always managed to have the Taoiseach of the day, Bertie Heron, was there, and Brian Cowan, and now in the Kinney is doing it. So, you know, always there were certainly high profile people at all times, and you know, in the early years and throughout this, all his former opponents, we call them the Mead lads, the Jerry McEntees, the McLoynses, and the boys from Dublin, Tony Hanhon, all these boys came along. And on a few occasions, we had Noel Murphy came along, because Noel Murphy, the rugby man, himself and Tommy Kiernan, they came along, and we had different, you know yourself, you met Ronnie Delaney, and
Yeah. There
was different people from former sports, you know, Donald Lennon, Ollie Campbell came another year, and we had Eamon Coughlin and people like that.
Because they couldn't say no to Paddy O'Shea.
Like, no, he was fair play to him. He was an outstanding person like that. You know, he was a guy. You know, if he asked you to do something, you'd have to deliver. But he was the very same himself. He was a very loyal person, and he had a great commitment to his area and a great commitment to people. And you know, he was of a similar type of vein. You know,
he was.
If you were in trouble, he was your man. You know, he was that type of man.
Poet and author Gabriel Fitzmaurice is presenting the program with me tonight. He wants to say hello to you there, Gabriel.
Derry, how are you?
Hello, Gabriel. I'm Sean of Arfad. I guess we two on a car doing the party. The father-in-law, and you know, he was an outstanding fellow, and we certainly all miss him dearly.
Actually, and you remember you saying there, Derry, just a few minutes ago, that party, you know, if he asked you to do something, you certainly couldn't refuse him. But like you said, it also worked in the other way. If you asked him to do something, if he could at all do it, he would. I remember in 1996, I had a book called The Village Sings. And Paddy had just brought Kerry in from the wilderness that year. They won the Munster of Fine, isn't that right, that year, 96. And Paddy came all the way up from Countra up to my van to launch my book for me.
Yeah. Ah, yeah, that would be him.
But another thing, you knew him very well. You knew him very better than I did. I remember when he was training the under-21s, they were beaten in a final, his first final. I think it was by Meath, but I wouldn't swear to that. And I was back in West Kerry the following day, and I met Dr. Jim Brosson from my van, the doctor back there.
Yes,
and Jim said, let's go out to party, he said. He'll be in a very bad way today. He'll be in the doldrums. He was very self-critical. You know, something that maybe didn't always appear in the hail fellow when met party. He was introspective as well. He was a deep thinker.
Oh, huge thinker. You know, that was one of his, actually, I recently, before Christmas there, I met farmer Taoiseach Bertie Ernest in an afternoon with him, and because he was responsible for appointing him to the board of Bord Fáilte. And he was, you know, he made an immense contribution to the board. He was a very deep thinker. And certainly, you know, he was a guy who would have thought out things very analytical. And he would focus in on that type of situation. He was that type of guy, like, you know, he was very good, like, very analytical fella who would think out things.
And I know that he said there for me in the book that I've been reading from, that, you know, you treat the two imposters the same. You treat the imposters being success and failure.
Yes.
Or defeat. Not failure, sorry, defeat. There's a big difference between defeat and failure. Paddy was defeated on a few occasions. He never failed. That sort of upset him, though, didn't it?
It did, to a certain extent, but he was a very realistic, he was a realistic type of man, you know, he was a deep man, and he understood, you know, those type of situations, you talk about he getting something done. There's a friend of ours, he'd be a friend of Paddy's, he'd be missing the next night, he is Frank Thompson. He was the man who flew the Pope to Ireland. He was an Aer Lingus captain, and Frank is going through health problems at the moment, so he's gone out to a clinic in Philadelphia. It's the only place the operation can be done. It's high risk lung transplant, and there's a fundraising activity, and it was set up in the golf club in Royal Dublin a few weeks ago. And one of the people involved is Jack Phillips. He's a heart surgeon there from Tralee, who walks out the matter private. And they were my brother JJ, who'd be a great friend of Paddy's also. They were putting a committee together, and the first man they put on the committee was Paddy O'Shea. And the following day, Paddy was dead. You know, so
oh my God.
To show that, you know, these people, they knew he was a man who could get things done.
Yes,
you know, he was, and unfortunately, because my brother, you know, the following day when he had heard it, you know, and Jack the doctor, you know, there was these boys like.
I was giving a reading tour of America last October, 12 months, and one of the people I met, I'd say would be a friend, he was Morris Sprick is his name.
Oh, yes, I go my mother, yeah.
And he brought me to meet an old man. His name just eludes me, but he was a great fan of Paddy O'Shea's. He's a West Kerry man, and he lives near Murrish. And he lives and breeds Gaelic football. And he was telling me about the occasions Paddy used to call out to Gaelic Park and to the Kerry Association in Yonkers. And Paddy was a legend out there as well.
Oh, sure, he was hugely. I remember when we went out with Kerry in 85, and you know, the reception that we got actually in Gaelic Park in 1985. We played in Gaelic Park against the New York All Stars, and this is all due to Paddy, like, the same day as the New York final. And we got half the gates. We were getting half the gate from the Derry All Ireland in Croke Park. You know, that was fantastic. You know, he was held in such high regard and esteem. But I'll tell you about a story on that. For one of his comortuses, he got involved with a guy back in West Kerry who was involved in the police department in New York. And anyway, to make a long story short, we followed through all the things anyway and got out to America. And the Philadelphian police sent over a team of American footballers and the New York Fire Department. So anyway, we were, you know, went out and met them, and Paddy was blowing up this thing. It was such an important. But anyway, to make a long story short, the mayor of New York, anyway, he sent his man down, one of his men from his office. I think it was Michael Bloomberg was the mayor at the time anyway, and down to our reception where we were announcing the thing. So the following day in the New York Times, we got a half a page. So when we were leaving New York anyway, we got this big limousine provided by the mayor's office anyway to carry us out to the airport. We got a royal send-off anyway.
Nobody else could do it on
Nobody
party.
Else could do Nobody. It, like, because the John Reardon, who was the president of the New York GA, he said to me, he said, I'm here 30 years. He said, we're the Irish. He said, and we can't get nobody like that to do things like that for us.
Well, no, the launch of his comortus is on Tuesday, the 5th of February, in the Burlington at 7 o'clock. The Taoiseach in the Kennedy is launching it, and the football then will be on the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th back in West Kerry. Derry, as always, great to talk to you, my friend.
He was an outstanding man. We dearly miss him. But as they say, his legacy will live on.
Yeah, lovely. Well said, Derry. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much, Weesha.
Thank you, Derry. Derry Murphy there, yeah, lovely was. Listen, they're amazing stories.
Amazing.
Between the mayor in New York and half page in the Times, and we all know that he can do it, like, but he had this magic about him. There's no doubt about it. Yeah, didn't he?
Yeah, he was a lovable fella, and he was larger than life.
He was
also a genius.
Yeah.
You know, so and he was an organiser.
He was, indeed.
Do you know, many people don't think, like, in terms of the organisation it takes to bring these things off.
Yeah.
But he was a great organiser.
Yeah. Well, you've written a lovely poem, verses about him. We'll be hearing them later on. We have a lovely piece by Brendan O'Sullivan about the funeral, and we have a song specially written by Pádraig O'Connell from Emlock, down there in the parish of Prior. He travelled up to Dublin and stayed there in 1963, and we have a beautiful new tribute song for Paddy, which you'll hear later on, folks. What's your memories of Paddy O'Shea at 066-712-3666. Andrew Morris is producing the show, Sinead is on sound, and Eileen is taking your calls.
There was five of us on the line, Ogie, Bomber, and Sheriff Powell, myself. Yeah, it was disappointing, but, you know, I found it very difficult to accept at the time. I was conceding a lot of scores, and I found it difficult to accept at the time, but afterwards, after giving it my conscience an examination, I think maybe that they made the right decision.
Paddy won four National Football Leagues in 1974, 77, 82, and 84. I met up with Mick Galway, footballer and rugby player, at Paddy's funeral.
Well, Mick Galway, listen to me. Just talk to me about Paddy Shea, and of course you have a house down here near him, and so you'll be very close to him.
I'm very close to him, and I suppose, first of all, I was lucky enough to have played with him back in the day, but I suppose I was only a 19-year-old then, back in 1986, which was after that, I suppose, and particularly when I moved around here, I was lucky enough to be able to get a house here back around 12 years ago, and I've had some great times here. My family have great times here. My kids have had great times here. And Paddy has always been a gentleman to all of us, and a phenomenal man. You know, and I suppose everybody will know Paddy, the sportsman, the footballer, the trainer, the media man even. But
Paddy was a great friend, and I know a lot of people will say that, but I had great old times here with Paddy. We'd be inside there in the pub until maybe all hours and having chats, and just even in the depths of winter, I'd come down here and there'd be no one around, and we'd have great old fun with Paddy, you know.
It was never... What was so special about him away from the maddening crowd, Mick?
I suppose he was a very intelligent man, and a very, like, he loved fun. You know, Paddy loved fun, and he loved crack, and he loved hearing stories, and he loved just, you know, hearing anything at all, any bit of fun at all, and Paddy would be in the middle of it. And he was an awful rogue. So he's a desperate rogue, and you know, he was a great sense of humour, and he just loved life.
On the playing fields, Mick, of course, to win 8 All-Ireland medals, only concede 1 point in those 8 finals. That's a phenomenal record.
That's a phenomenal record, it is, and that speaks for itself, and like that record will never again be matched. It's, and you look at the modern-day athletes and the modern Gaelic footballers or whatever sport you have, there's nobody will ever have that medal. And I suppose, more importantly, it wasn't... You know, people will say that Paddy was a great man marker. Not alone was he marking his man, but he was probably marking someone else's man, and he was up the other end scoring points as well, you know. Like, there was no better sight to see than Paddy Shear running up the field with the ball and kicking a score, and as a young fella, I can remember that. And you know, it's amazing that you watch his nephew Tomás now, they're with the stamp off each other, but you know, he was a phenomenal man, a phenomenal strong man, strong, fair, but hard. You know what I mean? But like fair at the end of the day. And I remember him inside in the clashes inside, and I was only a young fella, but it was a fierce experience for me. But when anybody was marking Paddy Shea inside in the backs and forwards, when Mick O'Dwyer was involved, I'll tell you, they earned everything they got, because Paddy, his enthusiasm, I think his enthusiasm and his drive, I think, rubbed off on everybody else. And you know, people will say that was a great team, a great Kerry team, and it was, there's no doubt about that, but it was people like Paddy that made it that way, because he had a will to win, and he had a drive in him, I think, that rubbed off on everybody else.
Mick, do you think in later life, do you think that he knew how important he was to the people, not alone in Kerry, but I reckon he was probably the most recognised Kerry footballer outside of the county in the rest of the island? Did he recognise that?
I don't know. I think he liked that. I think he liked the fact that, you know, I'm not saying that he loved the media or he loved the limelight, and maybe he did, I don't know, but he was, you know, I suppose you know, when you look at Paddy Shea, he just wanted to be popular. He wanted to be nice and all things to all people, and he was that. You know, and I suppose it's one of the great things we can say, like, it everybody loved Paddy. People from other counties, I see him here today, there's fellas here from Tyrone, Carlow, Kilkenny, they're here from everywhere. And they're all here because, you know, they just felt that Paddy was a part of them. Paddy was a part of the GA. But more importantly, everybody could feel that they could be in touch with Paddy. And I think that was one of the great traits of Paddy O'Shea.
Finally, Mick, in debt, what will you leave to Kerry football and to the Kerry team?
I think he'll leave everything, you know. He's one of the few fellas that has done both. He has played, you know, I think when people will look back, and even in 100 years' time, and they'll think of who is this Paddy O'Shea who conceded only 1 point in 8 or 10 All-Irelands he played. Sure, he won 8 and he lost 2, and, you know, and then he went down to coach Kerry, and not alone for under-21 finals, but also for senior. And I suppose Paddy O'Shea will be remembered for taking us out of the doldrums, because remember back after the 86, it was 97 before we won another All-Ireland, and Paddy was a big driving force behind that, I have no doubt about it.
Mick, always great to talk to you, thanks.
Good man, wish you. Good gentleman.
Yeah, Mick Galway there, one of the all-time greats, some lovely words from him. Tim Gallivan was on from Blackwater. Paddy was a great manager for Kerry and had a great drive. Hi Wishy, Charles Fitzell said, hi Wishy, Paddy was a lion in the pitch, a gentleman off it, led us out of the wilderness in 97, a legend. Wishy, I'll never forget his powerful speech after receiving the Sam Maguire Cup in 85 and how much it went to him. That's from Charles Fitzell. Thank you, Charles. Mary O'Shaughnessy up in Limerick, hi Wishy, as you say, may the Vintry sod rest lightly on P. O'Shea. Leo would like to send his sympathies to the family of Kevin Heffernan, yeah, and we'll speak about that later. Nicholas Scollard has memories of playing in Cruisers with a gang from Onescall. Would like to remember Ned O'Shea of the Merchant. Gabriel is doing a great job with you, Wishy, and keep up the great work. A very personal friend of mine, Paddy, was a great level-headed and would speak to anybody, whether you were a big man or a 5'8" farmer. Since my parents' death, I have never missed somebody as much.
Paddy was a great, Alan Godfrey was on. Paddy was a great Irish speaker. He was a pleasure to listen to. And I had tears in her eyes, I had tears in my eyes the day of his death. From Alan Godfrey, 0667123666. You can text us on 083-300-3300. If you'd like to get in with your comments, we'd love to hear from you about Paddy O'Shea. Gabriel, you wanted to say something there?
Just talking about Mick Galway there. The death of another Kerry icon, John B. Keane, some 10 years ago now, I think it is. Of course, there was a huge crowd at the funeral in Carroll's funeral home in Listowel, as you can imagine. And I was there with my wife, and we were joined by Jim Braston, the aforementioned Dr. Jim Braston, who was himself a Kerry footballer. And on the, Jim had trained Mick Galway as a Kerry footballer, as a minor, I think, it is under 21. And Mick had played senior for football for Kerry, you know. And Mick was coming up anyway, and he saluted us. And when he came out, having sympathised with the Keane family, we were outside. He joined us for a few minutes. And Jim Broxton said when he left, you know, there's Mick coming out to say he was a good Kerry footballer, he said, but he was a bit slow. And then he said, to the words to the effect of, if he was a small bit faster, he'd be a poor man today. Because Robbie was good to make all the...
Nicely said. Now, he had a house down near Paddy. Making himself... They were great friends. He had a house down there. He's spent an awful lot of his time with him. What we're remembering about Paddy tonight, Gabriel, and it's very important. Everybody knows the Paddy Shea in the field, don't they? Because between videos and DVDs and commentaries and everything, everybody knows him. But I'm continuously getting back to the point of the Paddy O'Shea away from everything. People really flocked to him, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. Like, Croger would have been the iconic West Kerry man.
And Paddy Bond, then?
As a footballer, yeah, but I'm talking now just as a publican. I'm sure Paddy Bond had a pub as well, that's right. Excuse me, Paddy Bond, mea culpa. Like, iconic, and they would have gone to Croger's pub in West Kerry, they'd have gone to Paddy Bond's, and then they went to Paddy's. And as you were saying earlier, Paddy was very often inside that bar, you know, or going around meeting people, greeting people. He was a lovely man. His loss is incalculable. As Tomás O'Crane said at the end of in Tyrannach, his book, Ní Vegard Lehedi Arishon, you won't see our likes around again, and you won't see the likes of Croger and Paddy O'Shea and Paddy Von Rossen again. Their era has gone. More to the loss of us, because I suppose we are now more savvy. We were innocent back in the 1960s. Paddy said that his big hero was Mick O'Connell. Mick O'Connell was my big hero as well. Yeah. And I'd be a small bit older than Paddy. And, we were innocent. And those people, I have a photograph in my room of the 1962 Kerry All-Ireland winning team. And there's no logo on the jersey. There's no logo on the boot. There's nothing. These people play for the sheer love of the game, and anything that spoiled it was a mortal sin.
And their county, well said, Paul, Gabriel. Gabriel's staying with me, because after we'll have a beautiful song, we'll have Gabriel's poem, and we have a lovely tribute by Brendan O'Sullivan, the day of the funeral, and also the speech by Paddy O'Shea when Kerry won the All-Ireland, he was captain. 0667123666, we'd love to hear from you. Stay with us, we'll be back with another hour in our tribute to Paddy O'Shea.
Terrace Talk with Wheaty Fogarty on Radio Kerry.
I think we could count 21 All-Ireland medals out of Kilvicadonny School. Dan McGuire is a great excuse to get out of the house for the day, isn't it?
We're delighted with the support we're getting from the supporters and how good you are to travel long distances.
So I have to agree with you wholeheartedly that it is a full-time job if you want to do it properly.
That's right, there are those things happen. Next year is another year.
Yes, indeed. Lots of mercy in Paddy. There are quotes that he quoted to me out of when I interviewed him over the years in Terrace Talk, and we just put them together there. Now, so something very, very special. Paddy O'Connell from Imlach down there in the parish of Fire, that's between Waterville and Ballinskellig, wrote a lovely tribute song to Paddy. Well, it's sung by Roisin Ryan of Drummond. Conor Moriarty is on the box, and Morgan Pierce is also accompanying us, and we recorded the song, and I want to thank Sean Hurley indeed for helping us to record the song. And this is Pádraig O'Connell's tribute song, sung by Roisin Ryan, to the late Paddy O'Shea, specially written for Terrace Talk. Indeed, lovely tribute song there, sung by Roisin Ryan from Drummond, Conor Moriarty and Morgan Pearce accompanied on. It was written by Pádraig O'Connell, and Paddy O'Shea won 4 Railway Cups in 76, 78, 81 and 82, and 2 County Senior Football Championships in 84 and 85. We're joined by one of his former teammates, his great friend and a great footballer himself, Mickey Sheehy. Mickey, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Roisin.
Mick, have you come to grips with his death? Has it dawned on you that he's gone?
No, it's still very hard to take in. You know, I suppose when you say we're talking about the late Paddy, you know, tis very hard because, you know, I suppose, well, it's particularly hard, obviously, for Maura and all the lads and, you know, the family and all the boys back there. But it is. It's very difficult, you know, like, I mean, Paddy at 57 years of age, you know. I suppose we all thought about him, like everybody else said about him, that he was indestructible, you know, that, God, there was no end to Paddy, you know, like, you know, be it on the field, off the field, you know, and tis certainly, and I suppose there's never an easy time for a family, but I suppose around Christmas time as well, it was particularly sad for the family, you know.
And of course, to be remiss of us, Mick, if we didn't mention his two teammates, Tim Kennelly and John Egan.
That's right, tis. I just heard one of the Dublin lads there was on the telly over the weekend, but they said passing of poor Kevin Heffernan as well. But they said, you know, that outside of Mickey Holden, Kevin Heffernan was the only other Dublin fellow. So I suppose, you know, it is hard to believe that the three of our squad have gone, you know, and it is tough to take, yeah.
I often watched you in training in Killarney, Mick, in the stadium, when you were winning all those All-Irelands, you corner forward and he corner back. Talk to us, give us an idea of what it was like to have him marking you. Even though the great Mick O'Connell, he always pulls me up when he says about a fella marking a fella. The only time you mark a fella, he says if you have a bit of chalk. But anyway, how tough was he?
He was tough, but funny enough, in training, we see very seldom. I came across him because I used to be inside right corner most times, and Paddy was right half back, such as Pat Spillane. Mostly he marked, but I tell you, I had a few great battles with him in Championship football when he was playing with West Kerry. We had a few great games, but any time I ever marked him, you know, to be fair to him, Paddy was a complete ball player. He was tough now, Jeannie Mack. He'd sort you out and he'd check you out if you had the ball. But I mean, he was, in fairness, now there was no clipping off the ball or anything like that. But he was an all round outstanding footballer. He was very good in the air. He was a good kicker, and you know, and particularly when he was playing with Kerry at number five, no more light than his famous name, you know, Tomás. He was a great man to go up the field and get a score, you know. And
yeah.
I think a lot of people, you know, remember that he finished his days as a cornerback and was outstanding as well. Like, and as I'm sure a lot of defenders would tell you, there's a big difference playing cornerback as playing against wing back. You know, I think you have to be much tighter in the corner, but I suppose it showed how good a footballer he was that he adjusted back to the cornerback position, no problem in fairness. But he was inspirational. He was a great leader in the dressing room, great man to say a few words, you know. And by God, like when Paddy spoke, you know, your hairs in the back of your head stood, you know, and he was inspirational, really, in fairness to the guy, you know.
Gabriel Fitzmaurice is in studio with me this evening, and we're going to pull something, Gabriel. We're going to pull something in Mickey there while we have him on the line.
I finally get my chance.
And I tell you, he has sold plenty dummies himself now all
I
over the place.
I finally get my chance.
Yeah. What are you going to do for us?
I'm going to surprise him.
Yeah.
The great John Moriarty, who was, as you know, from Ivan, but lived in Killarney for a lot of his life, told me that the day that Mike Ishii got that equaliser, the famous one in Cork, he said, Gabriel, he said, "'Twas like he got the ball in to the crowd coming out from Mass in the front door in my van." So,
did you ever hear that one, Mick?
I did not. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to read a poem now to Mikey Sheehy.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
You know, Mikey was beautiful. Mikey was, he could dance. I used to talk football to John Moriarty a lot. And I used to call him Nureyev, the great ballet dancer, you see? And John used to call him Nureyev, and I said, "By God, John, Nureyev can dance, but could he dance with a football? Because Mikey Sheehy can." So this is my poem to you, Mikey Sheehy. about 30 years later,
and tis also recognizing your times playing with Paddy.
Exactly, they were the one team.
There are, yeah. So you're all the one, Mick, to us.
Okay. Dancing through, Mikey Sheehy, Nureyev with a football, you solo to the goal, where the swell of expectation sports in vain. O master of the ritual, O flesh of tribal soul, let beauty be at last released from pain. Now grace eludes its marker, creating its own space, while grim defenders flounder in its wake, and the ball you won from conflict yields to your embrace. Goal beckons like a promise, and you take. Up, Kerry.
Mickey, come here, seriously now. Can you associate yourself with that? Serious now.
Oh, Jeannie Mack, you're embarrassing me now. I tell you straight out. Not at all. Look, Jeannie Mack, I'm honoured for Gabriel to recite that about the, you know, you don't even think about these
what
things.
What would Paddy say about that now?
Come on, give
us an idea. You know him away from... Listen to me, you know Paddy's here 24 hours a day. What would he say about that?
Yeah, you would know. Like, I mean, I suppose you really wouldn't know. I don't know. Paddy was, like, as we all know, he was a very, very proud Kerry man, you know, everything... all the traditional stuff about Kerry, you know, and I'm sure, you know, deep down, you know, he might have a bit of a laugh about him, slightly about it, but deep down he'd be very proud of everybody, because, you know, the one thing about him is that, I suppose, the reason I had, you know, like, good things about Paddy was that in 1973 in the league I came on the scene late, and Paddy came on the scene in 74, And I remember the two of us, we were two young fellas. We drew with Roscommon in the final and we won the replay. But I remember I was rooming with Paddy. I said it's the only time I roomed with him before a big game, thanks to the guys, because lads, he was full of roguery, you know. But he was just and I suppose the fact that I came on, I think the two of us, you know, Bomber and Ogie and the rest of that brigade came on a bit later, you know. So I mean, you know, I also came across him, I suppose, soldiered against him when he was in the same 1 year, you know, to beat us in the Munster final, you know. And he was Jeannie Mack, he was just an inspirational, powerful footballer. But he was, you know, I mean, you know, as I said to you, I suppose it's still, you know, as we're talking about him here, like, to hit you every so often, you say, good God, you know, you're talking about him, that he's gone, you
was
know.
Was he nervous in the dressing room? How was he the run up to the games, Mick?
Yeah, he was, you know, like, Paddy was always a bit uptight in the dressing room, like the rest of us, you know. There was a few of the lads now, like, Jacko was very, very cool in the dressing room, and God rest John Egan, I always felt John was very cool. John looked like a fella was going down to the local football field kicking a game. Paddy was a bit uptight, okay, you know, because I often remember he'd always come over, you know, I've often told this to people, before a big game, to myself and John Egan in particular, I suppose, being the two corner forwards. And he had this thing in his head, like, that, you know, if we got a chance of a goal in the game, he said, take a pint, because he said, if you miss it, you'll only make a hero of the goal in, you'll only get the team going, you know. But he always had to do that, you know, but he was just something else, really, you know.
He was. Come here, Mick, listen to me, lovely talking to you, and the best of luck with Kerry for the year. We'll be talking to you as the year goes on, and well done winning the McGrath Cup.
Congratulations, Mickey.
Well done. And the best of luck for the year, Mick, with Kerry, okay. And...
Thanks again, Gabriel.
Okay. You're very welcome. An honour any time to recite it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Mickey, thank you.
Bye-bye.
The great Mickey Sheehy there, I suppose.
Probably one of the most beautiful.
One of the most beautiful. Unbelievable, wasn't he?
His balance was unbelievable. His control was unbelievable. But he was graceful. He looked good on the field.
Yeah.
And that's something that we've forgotten about in football.
Yeah.
You know, you can be an athlete without looking good. Now, I know every manager in the country in Safe and Smallest is talking to his rear end right now that it's much more important to be an athlete than to look good. Of course it is. But if you can be an athlete and look good, all the better.
That's right. And he did.
He did.
He did, yeah. 0667123666. We'd like to hear from you. And indeed, we'll be giving out that Kerry GAA yearbook of 1986 because Paddy captained the team the previous year. And this is a beautiful record of 86 and a lovely photograph of him laughing and smiling, hold the Sam Maguire Cup over his head. And Dr. McLoftis was the president at the time. And there's a photograph of McLoftis with Paddy. And indeed, I met Dr. McLoftis down at the funeral. He was there. Of course, there were the people from all over the place, and we'll be hearing from Micheál Martin and from Paddy's political views, and we have a lovely piece by Brendan O'Sullivan, and we'll be hearing from a few more interviews, and Gabriel will be reading a beautiful poem that he wrote about Paddy. So we'd love to hear from you, so stay with us.
Terrace Talk with Wishy Fogarty on Radio Kerry.
I was asked during my playing days, one particular time there when Kevin Heffernan was in charge of the team. I don't think I would. I had this particular fear of injury. It's okay if you're facing a guy that you're marking, but in actual fact it's somebody that's going to come from nowhere that's going to take you out of it. That's actually earmarked. Australian rules is renowned for that.
Yes, indeed. And Paddy O'Shea won 5 All-Stars in 81, 82, 83, 84 and 85. Yes, he was that great as a footballer. Brendan O'Sullivan, who born in Dublin but of Kerry parents, who you offer here on this programme, I met up with him during the week and he did this piece about Paddy's funeral.
Paddy's funeral mass. It was like a state funeral. Uniformed men in the front row representing the President and Taoiseach. Countless priests on the altar. RTE cameras broadcasting the ceremony to the entire country and via the internet to the world. It was the funeral of Paddy O'Shea in the small church in Ventry in Kirkaguina in the Kerry Gaeltacht, 1 week before Christmas Day 2012. For Paddy had received Cuir na nOllaig. He was too young to die, gone before the age of 60, like his comrades from the great team, Tim Kennelly and John Egan. And in the church, the Christmas crib and Advent candle were in place. The Mass begins, the main celebrant, Father Kieran O'Brien. Micheál Mura Hartig, a man for all seasons, is Master of Ceremonies. He calls up Nasa, Paddy's daughter, to read The Blind Man at Croke Park, one of her father's favourite poems. The line, Do They Walk Proudly Now resonates as we remember Paddy walking behind the Artain band in all those finals in the 70s and 80s. His number 5 jersey is placed on the altar. His autobiography is placed on the altar. The Mass proceeds. The wonderful singing of Cor Cúilleadh fills the church. After the Gospel, Father Kieran talks about Paddy. The sun is at its lowest in the sky and a deep darkness has fallen over West Kerry. But he is upbeat too. Quoting Lincoln, it's not the years in your life that counts, it's the life in your years. Then the prayers of the faithful, with Paddy's daughter Shun and his friend and teammate John Walsh among those saying the prayers. At the communion, Slán Inni Cathaillín sings The Boys of Borna Shroide, and Jimmy Kelly sings Raglan Road, appropriately a Kerry song and a Dublin song. The Mass ends, and Micheál is at the lectern again. He calls up Padraig, son of Paddy, who thanks everyone on behalf of the family and speaks movingly of how close he was to his father. The next speaker is Tom, Paddy's older brother. In a relaxed style, he recounts incidents from Paddy's life, his football career, his school career, his mother's protective attitude, his friends who all had the X factor, his socialising. He is funny. He is philosophical. We'll miss him, of course. He was a great character. Another eloquent speaker follows, Micheál O'Shea, friend and confidant of Paddy's, a distinguished halfback himself with All-Ireland medals from 1969 and 1970. He speaks with fervour and passion, mostly in beautiful mellifluous Irish, using words and actions to describe an incident involving Mick O'Dwyer on the sideline advising Paddy on the field, Paddy scoring a point and thinking he was one up. Needless to say, Mick O had the last word. Micheál finishes with, Slán Leath a Rí na Scéalaíochta, his voice breaking. And then the nephews, Dara, Tomás and Mark, talk with humour and affection about their uncle. Tomás tells the story of Paddy approaching Croke Park with the Westmeath team and going around trying to motivate the players. The problem was that in one instance he was psyching up the physio. Dara speaks about a trip to the Canaries where he roomed with Paddy and how his finances became mysteriously depleted. He tells of how Beatrice, Paddy's mother, looked after him, making sure he had a good sleep no matter what time of day it was. Mark talks about Paddy's financial generosity to him when he was a student in Maynooth and describes a trip to Old Trafford when Paddy presents Alex Ferguson with a copy of his book. Then Micheál O'Muirchertach relates how he heard about Paddy's death when visiting Mick Finucane, 90 years old and one of the two remaining veterans of the Polo Grounds All-Ireland. He finishes with his unerring and extraordinary ability to find the right words for every occasion. Legendary players were mentioned in the tributes. Put them together with those present at the funeral and the entire history of Kerry football could be traced. The O'Shea brothers, stars of the current era, the great team of the 80s and 70s, all present. Micheál O'Shea, Mick O'Dwyer, Mick O'Connell, Tom Long were back to the 60s and late 50s. Paddy had been called after Paddy Sheehy, and one of his early teachers was Mick Murphy, both heroes of the famous 1955 win over Dublin. The captain of that team, John Dowling, gave Paddy his first pair of football boots. Two of Paddy's mentors, Joe Cohan and Paddy Bon Brosnan, were mentioned with honour, bringing us back to the Polo Grounds and into the 30s. And on the altar, concelebrant with Father Kieran, was Canon Tom Looney, Kerry GAA historian, biographer of Dick Fitzgerald, grandnephew of Paddy Dillon, Kerry's first All-Ireland winning goalkeeper, and we're back to 1903. This was the tradition which Paddy was a central part of, which he inherited and passed on. And as he was carried down the church to the strains of Magulla Mar from Cor Cúilleadh, perhaps those carrying him thought, like Paddy Barry when shouldering the coffin of his teammate, the great Christy Ring, we carried him at last. All his friends were in Ventry. It was a sad occasion, but also a celebration of his life. P.O. would have enjoyed it.
Wow, Gabriel.
Powerful piece.
Huh?
A lovely piece, a powerful piece.
My great friend Brendan O'Sullivan.
Beautiful piece.
Beautiful piece.
Can I just add my own one and tuppence to it?
You can indeed.
He was talking about the Kerry and the Dublin songs that were sung, Borna Shroide and Raglan Road.
Yeah.
Raglan Road. We can claim Raglan Road for our own, you know.
Yeah.
She was Hilda Moriarty from Dingle, the woman in Patrick Kavanagh's Raglan Road, who was the wife later on of Donal O'Malley, the Minister for Education.
Oh, what
so it's as much of a Dingle song as it's a Dublin song.
I love that song. Gabriel, you wrote something beautiful about
And thank you, Wishy. On the 15th of December, when I heard this, I just was devastated, so I just dropped the wire. I didn't break it, though. I just dropped it in the sink and said, damn it, this is it. No more work today. I'm devastated. And usually when I'm devastated or elated, the only way out of it, it's not through drink or drugs, it's through the pain. So I said, I'm going to have to write about Paddy O'Shea. And I wrote, I suppose you could nearly say I dashed off a piece, which I met you in the stall that day. Later on, you were signing your book in Wolf's Bookshop in the stall, and I gave it to you. And of course, like, that was the first draft. That's when it's like a footballer, you know, you have to train him and you have to polish him up a bit before you let him out in Croke Park. And it's the same with the poem. I spent the last month at this. It's not very much different to what I read in Radio Kerry that night, the first night, but it's a lot better. So it's In Memoriam, Paddy O'Shea, the 15th of December, 2012. Like that bleak day in December, our hearts turned cold and grey at the fall of the immortals on the death of Paddy O'Shea. Paddy O'Shea, our hero, defender of our ways, the good, the true, the beautiful, who set our hearts ablaze, the incarnation of his people when the kingdom joined the fray, foremost in the field of truth, was Paddy O'Shea. A lover of his country, our language on his tongue was a people undefeated, and his deeds are sung wherever football lovers raise a glass to beauty, truth. Paddy, you remembered as a youth who raised us up to glory from the field of strife. In the metaphor of football, your way, your truth, your life.
Words speak for themselves. Gabriel Fitzmaurice, my guest in studio this evening, 066-71-23666, 083-300-3300. We'd love to hear from you. Stay with us. We'll be back shortly.
Terrace Talk, brought to you by Ahern's Garage Castle Island, home of the new Opel Astra Saloon and the Opel Mokka SUV. Aherns.ie. Opel. Wir leben Autos.
And even when I got on the Kerry team, you can see the Elventry beach, the beautiful sandy beach there in the background. I mean, I really worked hard on the beach, in the hard sand and the soft sand. And then if you can look right up the hill there, at Slievenuller and the lake Slievenuller in down there, and I did an awful lot of training there, just going up the hill and getting over the hill to the far side, which brings you into Dunkeen, and running around by the road. That was my stamina training that I did. I really found it great and healthy as well, and I found it much more beneficial to me, you know, and I found it much easier and more enjoyable than actually when I was in the Guards, when I was a member of the Guard of Shiachán and domiciled in Limerick. Around that time, we did have the physical education college with all the modern availabilities of training techniques available to me, but I chose not to avail of them. I found that ploughing the furrows of Slievenuller and the mountains and running on fine, fresh air here in Ventry, I was much happier doing that.
The amount of work and serious work a player can do during his time outside of collective training can be of immense help. I was very fortunate. I got a great rerun of injury. The resistance training that I did over the winter, you know, I did an amount of hill climbing and I did an amount of work on the beach as well. I think all that stood to me. And we were very fortunate to have a fantastic trainer at the time. A great, great man. Couldn't speak highly enough of Mick O'Dwyer.
Yes, indeed. Lovely words there from Paddy. And if you want to hear all that fabulous interview John Green did with him, Where the Road Takes Us, click into the Terrace Talk website and terracetalk.com, and you can hear all that interview going, which is up on the site now. As a manager, Paddy O'Shea won two All-Ireland Senior Football Championships with Kerry in 97 and 2000. He won 6 Munster Senior Championships, 67, 96, 97, 98, 2000, 2001 and 2003. He won one All-Ireland Under-21 in 1995 as a manager, 2 months still Under-21s as a manager, 93-95, won National Football League in 97. With Westmeath, he won a Leinster Senior Football Championship, and with West Kerry, as a player-manager, he won 3 County Senior Football Championships in 84, 85 as player-manager, and then in 1990. And before I forget it, the great Gus Crimmin, great Kerry footballer, captain of Kerry in 1946 for the drawn game, was 93 last week. Gus, we send your very best wishes. What was the name of the girl that sang Born Estrada at Paddy's funeral? John Milan from Coral, the home of Tony Redden. Both John and his friend from Port Dumna travelled for the funeral. What a man. Well, we'll try to find that out for you. How's the going, Wishy? Thanks, Paddy, for all the great days out we had with him as player and manager, Paddy Hurley and Betty Desmond. Thank you, Paddy. How's the going, Wishy? That's from Paddy Hurley. What an amazing man Paddy was. He'd be sadly missed in West Kerry. Tina Griffin in Cam County, Kerry. What a great man Paddy was. The lovable role. Congratulations. The lovely song from Carmel. Congratulations on a great program. We miss Paddy so much. Mary McGarrett and Belly Ferrother. Paddy was one of the most dedicated players of the 70s and 80s era. He was an icon. Hi to Dan and Carmel in New York. From Joe Connor in Vicarstown, County Cork. Best of luck to Kinmare, and so say all of us. On Terrace Talk 2 months ago, SBB on Terrace Talk 2 months ago paid a great compliment to Paddy. Can you find it? He missed it, but told him it. He charmed. That's from Brian and Mary in Lisbon. Yeah, that was Sean Bourne-Brannock that I did a long interview with him, and he paid a lovely tribute to Paddy and Brian and Mary in Lisbon. We'll try to get that for you, Brian and Mary, because there's so much you could do. Paddy gave us Kerry fans some great days in Fitzgerald Stadium, Parky Keeve, and above Crook Park, both as a manager and a player. Thanks for the memories. From Joe Flavin in Commons Road. Could you please play a Paddy's speech after accepting the Sam this year? He was captain and the hairs would stand on the back of your head. My fondest memory of the late and great Paddy O'Shea is his draw for the Gansey of the Gaeltacht in Kerry. But all over, when I see his face after his son Paddy won the Corny Vuree with Pubis Corcoguina last year, Eilish Nigarvey back in Dingle. You're right, Eilish. He was so proud of his son, and well done to that. Dr. Mike Finnerty, Paddy welcomed me as a Galway man into the Kerry setup. It was a great honour for me. He was a fantastic organiser. He will be greatly missed, Dr. Mike, the Kerry team doc. Thank you for that, Doc. Paddy was a true gentleman, a man of his word, a Dingle caller. I find the programme very emotional, a Tralee caller. Hard to imagine Paddy is gone. What a great man, a Kinmare caller. Joe Griffin was a great friend of Paddy's. We would meet in Dingle occasionally. We would go into Foxy John's snug. We would have a couple of pints of lemonade. It would all be football, asking any young footballer coming up and down the skull. Ask any footballer coming up and down the skull. I miss him so much. That's from Joe Griffin. Thank you for that, Joe. I had the pleasure of meeting Paddy a number of times in Boston and Hartford and New York. He was one of a million in his memory. His memory will live forever, from our great friend Connie Kelly in New York. 0667123666 if you'd like to get in. I met up with Micheál Martin of Fianna Fáil down at the funeral.
Well, Micheál Martin, it was great to see you down in Vintry, but I suppose you had to be here, really.
Absolutely. Very, very sad occasion. We got to know Paddy down through the years, through sport, through summer holidays, and obviously through politics, because he had a great love for politics and very attached to the Fianna Fáil party. And invariably you would find him at functions at Ardeshina. Wherever people were gathered, he enjoyed the company and he wanted to be there. And of course, from our perspective, as a young child growing up in Cork, there was nothing more central to our lives than the Munster football final. I come from a football club. My late father was a football man, so it was everything to us, and it was kind of the mecca of our year. And of course, Paddy O'Shea dominated that for well over a decade. And just an extraordinary character, an extraordinary athlete, incredible achievements. And I don't think we'll see his likes again. And a good friend of ours in Dingle last night, I think, described him very well. He said he was a jewel of the peninsula. And you can sense that loss that people are experiencing across Corcoguina.
Did he bring his drive and his passion and everything that goes with it to the Fianna Fáil party and to politics. I think he did. I heard him addressing an Ardish, I think, one time at some meeting of the Fianna Fáil party, and he nearly brought down the house.
He did. I mean, he had a great natural articulation, and certainly when great gatherings, election campaigns, he brought great drive to them. He gave great support and impetus to candidates in this constituency. But further afield then, he was, of course, a great personal friend of all former Taoiseach for the last three or four Taoiseach, Brian Coney, a great friend, Bertie Heron and Charlie Haughey, and very loyal to the people concerned. And irrespective of issues that arose, he was always there and supportive. He was a very generous person, very open-hearted, and there was always a welcoming door to everybody, irrespective of political persuasions.
You, and, as a great GM and a great Nemo Rangers man and a Cork man, of course, you'd have stood back and watched them playing. What was it like from a Cork perspective, standing seeing Paddy Shea playing against your own county?
Well, there was a great friction there, wasn't there? A great sense of excitement, and yeah. You knew he was hard. I mean, this guy was almost made of granite. You had, and of course, I did all my early years as an Irish down here in the Cork of Gwyn Gaeltacht, so it was almost, he was hewn from the rock here. And
you're right, yeah, yeah.
And you had that sense about this.
He was nearly part of the place here, Micheál, wasn't
absolutely,
he? You could
yeah.
sense it when I'm talking to you here now. Yeah. You can sense that even more.
Absolutely, absolutely. The big hero gone from the area, but. You know, there's good family there, and I think that the generations will come on, and I think his spirit will stay alive, you know.
Yeah.
But from our perspective, growing up, of course, you know, we had the Dinny Allens, we had the Billy Morgans, and what was lovely for us as young people to see was, where as a young person, you're watching this incredible rivalry on the pitch, but then you'd see after time and over time, these people becoming great friends themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know they're very sad today in the last 2 days that a giant of the game has passed, and I think the friendships that one builds up through sport are enduring ones, and I think you've witnessed that in the last number of days from all over the country, where people who played Gaelic games and who played Gaelic football are here to be in spirit with Paddy and his family.
Micheál, lovely talking. You come here, keep up the great work with Fianna Fáil. You've done a great job. Well,
thank
done.
You very much indeed, bit by bit, you know. Thanks, Vichy.
Thank
you very much
lovely
indeed.
Lovely. There are a great GMN, I always like meeting Micheál Martin, great man to talk football, and he mentioned Paddy's family, of course, and of course his wife and his daughters and his son, and of course the three boys, the three nephews, and his brother, of course. Really, it is very sad for them. They'll never get over it, shall I want?
No. They say time is a great healer, and it is, but like, death is death, it's very final, and you know, those of us who have belief in an afterlife have a great consolation, and I'm not saying that easily, but it is a great consolation to know that there is somewhere that Paddy can be with us still in heaven, or whatever you want to call it, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, it's very final.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
There was something I was going to say there.
Yeah, while you're thinking of that, Mike Fuller was on, and he says, I never played against Paddy, but I did against Galway, against McGalway, both tough as nails. I remember his walk was a march, and he'd place the ball and turn his back to it and walk towards the hill, and without a salute, after 20 paces, he would pivot and accelerate to drive the ball 60 yards with an attitude of, off with you and don't come back soon. Thanks for a special programme, Wishy, and well done to Gabriel, a gentleman, Mike Fuller.
Lovely. Thanks, Mike. That's lovely.
No, he used to place the ball, and he'd march, turn
that's
his
right.
back
yes,
in the
no,
ball.
Yeah.
And then he'd give a pivot, turn around, and hit it a lash down the field. Great programme, Wishy. Really, a real fitting tribute to Paddy O'Shea. Gabriel Fitzmaurice is a real treasure. Paddy brought joy to the people of Westmeath with our first Leinster title. That comes from Shane. Hi, Wishy. Paddy was a complete gentleman and always made you feel welcome in his company. I think he was a personification of the perfect footballer, a true gent, Tom from my van. So another my van.
I must find out who Tom is.
0667123666. If you'd like to get in before we finish the programme, we'll be back shortly.
Terrace Talk with Wishy Fogarty on Radio Kerry.
The sim, that's at that time, the sim was the place. If you wanted to make any impact in football, you had a great chance in the sim. And I had a great couple of years there, football-wise. You know, we had two great trainers, Father James Lennon and Jimmy Hegarty. Yeah, the sim was great for me. There were great years. So reaching the All-Ireland Colleges final in 1972 and playing in Croke Park for the first time, that was a great, great thrill altogether.
Yes, indeed. Paddy's the voice of Paddy, as you're listening to here all evening on Terrace Talk from 6 to 8, the special tribute. Slánán Ní Chathaoirleán sang Barna Sláda at the funeral of Paddy. She gives the weather on Teen G. That's what I'm told. People are inquiring. Wishy, I watched the programme last week with late Paddy O'Shea. My God, he was some manager. The lads of Westmeath were afraid of him. May he rest in peace. That comes from Anne. Met Paddy O'Shea 3 years ago at a minor match in Onascall. He took a photograph with us and we always cherish it as my father that looks at all old videos time to time. From Twin Tidings, Christine and Ellen Tidings in HD, we are 13 and a half years old. Well, Christina and Ellen Tidings, isn't that lovely? We are 13 and a half years. 13 and a half. Not 13 or 14, but 13 and a half.
They're twins.
They're twins, yeah. Well done, Tidings. Lovely stuff up there. Paddy was a man. Paddy opened O'Donoghue's pub in 1997 in Shepherd's Pub in London. Travelled over several times after thinking of Mara. All the family from Jerry O'Donoghue in London and Jerry Tinkin. Thank you for that, Jerry. Thinking of all the O'Shea's back there. The one thing Paddy should be remembered for, he was for bringing back Sam back after the long wait from 86 to 97 from Denny Lean. Denny, my friend, how are you doing there? And of course, he brought it back in 97 after that. Now, I met up with John Kelly, who was masseur with the Kerry team with Paddy.
I suppose, really, I was involved with the Kerry team as masseur for 8 years with Paddy, and we had a great relationship, really, I suppose. We traveled a lot of journeys together in the car and at the games, and after the games I often had a drink with him. He was wonderful company, a larger than life character and all. But really his heart was in football and Kerry football, and he loved Kerry. I'll tell you one anecdote. We were out, I think it was out in Thailand, we were one day, and they were travelling in the bus one morning around to the shopping centres, and the bus used to stop at all these out shopping centres, you know. And Paddy turned to me, you know, he was too interested in the shops. All the women were in there. There was just the two of us and the bus, and Paddy turned around. Christ, John, he said, isn't there a lot to be said for bloody Slayhead this morning, you know? So that illustrates really that his passion for it, you know. But you see, he was a Kerryman at heart, and he loved rural Kerry because not at all the football aspect to it, but Paddy also had a deep understanding of rural life and how people love to live in rural Kerry. And I was involved with the Rural Dwellers Association for a number of years and still am. And we asked Paddy on a number of occasions to give us a talk, really. And he was brilliant, very good, you know, and he knew what we were talking about, really, keeping people and the rural clubs going. And his big concern, really, was that if the rural clubs decline in Kerry, that the heartland of the GA would decline. And that has come to pass, really, with what's happening in South Kerry. Now, I remember one particular programme that you did, a joint programme between Paddy and Eugene McGee. Both of them were speakers for us, guest speakers for us at a conference in Tralee on that particular night. And when they came back, they were so impressed with what they heard on radio, they got a standing ovation, both Paddy and Eugene McGee. So that was Paddy, a wonderful footballer, a wonderful person. And, you know, he made a major contribution. And I think, you know, that it was sad, really, the way he left. I was very, very sorry for the way he left the trainee of the Kerry football team at the time, because, look, if we look at 1996, he won a number 21 championship, an All-Ireland championship. And then in 1997, after 12 years in the wilderness, he brought us back to the Sam Maguire Cup. And again in 2002, possibly, maybe the 2001. But look, Paddy couldn't be blamed for that, in my opinion, you know.
Yes, indeed. My great friend John Kelly from Spa, who worked with Paddy for many years. Gabriel, as we're coming to the end of the programme, what is it with Kerry and what is it with great Kerry footballers, and what effect has deaths of great Kerry footballers on the future of Kerry football?
Well, We have a song tonight about Paddy O'Shea. We have a song in Cavan about the great, the gallant John Joe. We have songs in Cork about the great Christy Ring. In a sense, these people will never die as long as those songs are sung. The loss can be turned to a gain. Pain can be turned to gain. We're looking at a new Kerry team possibly that won the McGrath Cup last week. There are some young footballers here that played minor for Kerry some years ago, including Patrick Curtin, my neighbour. If we believe in the beauty of Kerry football, if we believe in the strength of Kerry football, if we believe in the legacy of the Paddy O'Shea's of the world, and particularly Paddy O'Shea's own legacy, we can turn pain to gain. Can I just give you a short little quote from a man associated with a different sport, Danny Blanchflower, the great soccer player. The great fallacy is that the game is first and last about winning. It's nothing of the kind. The game is about glory. It's about doing things in style. And the great Greek philosopher who never kicked a football in his life, old Plato, says 2,000 years ago that you can discover more about a person in an hour of play than in a year of conversation.
How did Pluto know it? When was he born, Pluto?
Plato, about 2,000 years ago.
How did the man born 2,000 years ago write about Paddy O'Shea?
I don't know. Probably a prophet.
Listen, you're going to be singing us out with a little verse soon, Albert. Hi, Anya Cronin and all the Cronins were on. Hi, Wishy, congratulations on a fantastic tribute, beautiful programme to Paddy. As always, a beautiful poem by Gabriel. During my last visit to Paddy's pub last April, he took me in a fascinating tour of the fortress in his pub. He was a true gent. And thank you for that, Anya, and all the Cronins. By the way, staying with football and Radio Kerry Sports next weekend, congratulations to Finuig and getting to the All-Ireland Final, of course. And to Kinmare, who drew with Castleknock in a fantastic game. You can hear the replay on that next Saturday. You can hear Kerry and Mayo live Sunday. And the Kingdom go to Waterford in the ladies' football. Rugby Nations 6 Championship gets underway. National Coursing's on. The Premier League sees Man United go to Fulham. And you'll hear all that with Gary O'Sullivan and Joe Mahoney. 8 hours of sport on Radio Kerry for the weekend. And we'll be coming to the end. Maura Moynihan of the FOSS course did tremendous work in preparing the programme. Sinead was on sound tonight. Andrew Morrissey was, as always, producing the programme. And Eileen was taking your calls. And, of course, Gabriel Fitzmaurice, delighted to have him as my special guest in studio. Paddy O'Shea, all I can say is that, for me anyway, he was a very special person in my life. Because away from everything, Paddy O'Shea said things to me, did things to me, and arranged things for me that no one else in my life has done. That's what I can say about him, Gabriel. Now, we have 2 minutes now, Gabriel. What are you going to do?
Well, I'll tell you.
And I want to thank everyone that rang up and everyone. And
likewise. Okay. In 1975, Dwyer's Babes won the All-Ireland. And Cormac O'Leary, who was teaching in my van at the time, my principal teacher, was a great GM and a great footballer himself. And he wrote ballads for every Kerry and my van victory for 40 or 50 years. So this is just one verse, the verse that includes the name of Paddy O'Shea of his 1955 victory song.
You can take your time.
3 cheers for Paddy Mahoney, Jerkeith and John O'Toole, Jim Dina and Tim Kennelly, great deeds we saw them do. And who can beat the brave Jer Power in the thick of every fray? While shining bright out on the right was gallant Paddy O'Shea. So it's Kerry, Kerry, Kerry boys, the brave men and the bold. So raise your voices to the skies and cheer the green and gold.
Gabriel, well done. Come here. Thanks for joining me.
Wishy, an honour as ever, and a pleasure. But can I, like you did at the head of the programme, can I extend my sympathy to Maura and the rest of the family on the incalculable loss of the great party? Christmas will never be the same.
Yeah, what a lovely way to finish, with sending our deepest sympathies to everybody back there, because 'tis their loss is the greatest of all.
It is.
I want to thank all the crew again and the Terrace Talk programme. And until next Wednesday night, I'll be in conversation with a man travelling down from Limerick to join me specially and talking about his life and times, both as a footballer and a referee and a historian and as a teacher, Tom Wolfe, a man who's going to entertain us. Timmy Wolfe, an old friend of yours, Gabriel.
A great old friend of mine.
Will he give us a good hour's entertainment?
He'd give you anything. He's a great musician and a great dancer as well, a set dancing instructor.
The life and times of Timmy Wolfe next Wednesday, in conversation 6 to 7, and next Monday night in Terrace Talk again. So from everybody here, thank you, the listener.